Äripäeva raadio. Ausalt ja kartmatult.
Äripäeva raamatuklubi.
Tere päevast! Eetris on Äripäeva raamatuklubi ja täna kuulete te eksklusiivset intervjuud ühe ülirikka, ent samas ka üliohtliku elu elanud mehega, kes liigutas 1980-90 aastate kokaiiniäri hiilgeajal üle maailma sadu tonne narkootikume. Ta elas keskmafioososid, aga ei kandnud kunagi relva ning pääses mitmel korral ka surmasuust. See mees on Äripäeva kirjastuse värske raamatu Eht narkoärikas peategelane Luis Navia. Luis Naviat küsitleb raamatu toimetaja Kadri Põlendik.
Raamatu Eht narkoärikas peakangelane Luis Navia on nüüdseks tavaline ärimees, kes tegeleb Miami's ehitusettevõtjana. Kui vestlust alustame, tuleb aga tema eelmine elu kohe jutuks, sest nagu ikka sellisel puhul kombeks, uurin talt kõigepealt, kas ta oli Eestist midagi varem kuulnud, enne kui tema raamat siin ilmus.
Oh yes, of course. I know after the Soviet Republic, they split up, the new countries were formed. Latvia, Lithuania, Belarus. And when we were in the business in the early 90s, we were looking to set up a warehouse in the free trade zone in Latvia with some Russian partners we had. And obviously we were going to import the tequila and Mexican products from Mexico, but they did not all have tequila or Mexican products. We were going to use the Latvia free trade zone as an import location to distribute into the rest of Europe. This was with Russian partners we had.
Luis räägib, et neil oli plaan 1990. aastate algul luua koos venelastega Läti vabakaubanduspiirkonda ladu, mille kaudu importida tekiilat ja muid kaupu Mehikost. Kuid loomulikult osa sellest ei oleks olnud päriselt see kaup, mis sildil kirjas. Lätist plaaniti teha nii-öelda jaotuskeskus, kust oleks kokaiini müüdud kõikele Euroopasse. Aga mis sellest plaanist siis sai?
One of the persons involved and responsible for getting it going had a falling out with the Russian counterparts, and it never materialized. You never know, something's happened for the best. And just like, for example, in the year 2000, when we were exporting a lot via freighters from Venezuela to Spain, we said, why are we doing this? Why are we paying so much? Of course, they were paying it to us, the transportation fees, but some people got into their heads, let's cultivate the coca plant in Africa. And that way we don't have to cross the Atlantic Ocean. We'll be in Africa. And, you know, Europe is right there. And for some reason, it didn't happen. And some things are best when they don't happen. And they don't happen for a reason, and it's a blessing. Because knowing the tendencies of the people involved and the characters, it would have been a tremendous disaster to put that much money into their hands. And in the end, we would have all turned out in a bitter conflict.
See plaan ei õnnestunud ja Luisi meelest parem oligi, sest need inimesed, kellega tuli äri ajada, olid tõeliselt karmid tegelased. Ta meenutab ka üht seika 2000. Aastate algusest, kui ta aitas kokaiini importida Venezuelast Hispaaniasse ja kerkis küsimus, miks kulutada nii palju aega ja raha transportile. Ja kuidagi tekkis idee kasvatada kokapõõsast, millest kokaiini valmistatakse, Aafrikas, sest Euroopa oleks palju lähemal. Mingil põhjusel aga seda ei juhtunud ning Luis rõhutas see peale veel kord, et parem ongi, kui mõningades seda ei juhtu ja seal on alati põhjus, miks nii läheb. Teades inimesi, kes selles äris tegutsevad ja missuguse iseloomuga nad üldiselt on, oleks see Luisi meelest olnud katastroof. Tõdeme see peale mõlemad, et ükskõik millises äris sa tegutsed, olgu see seaduslik või ebaseaduslik, igal juhul tuleb väga hästi tunda neid inimesi, kellega on vaja tegemist teha.
At that level, you have to deal with it as if it was Exxon Corporation, a huge pharmaceutical, you have to really, really analyze your characters, how good they are. At that level, there's no room for mistake. The people that you're dealing with have to be complete, total professionals. Your partners, your counterparts, your siblings, the people below you have to be tremendous managers. They cannot leave room for any kind of mistake, because the weakest link in the chain will make things, you know, go crazy. And we dealt with it like if it was a huge corporation, because you're dealing with billions of dollars with very, very volatile, vicious people.
Sellisel tasemel, nagu Luis Naavia narkoäris tegutses, tuli kogu ettevõtmist võtta samamoodi nagu mõnd suurkorporatsiooni. Ta toob võrdluseks nafta- ja gaasikontserni ExxonMobil või ravimitootja Pfizer. Mängus olid miljardid dollarid ning tegemist oli äärmiselt püsimatute ja julmade inimestega. Partnerid ja alluvad ei saanud endale ühtegi viga lubada, sest see lõppenuks kõigile halvasti.
Now, and I heard this from a Russian counterpart. When I was in Europe, when I was in Greece, you know, I dealt a lot and I met a lot with the Russians. And they said, wolf will not eat wolf. They'll eat a dog. So at our level, we, you know, wolves, they knew that no matter who they were in Russia, the people I worked for in Colombia, the cartel in Colombia was power, just as powerful as they were. And they could get to them probably easier than they could get to them. It was easier for the Colombians to get to the Russians than the Russians to the Colombians. So, you know, the very, 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 very delicate situations, extremely, with people that are, you know, very violent, very volatile. That's another thing you have to deal with. You know, people with a lot of money, with everything at their disposition, they're very volatile. They didn't grow up in a business where they inherited the business. They were trained. They saw their father make a lot of money in the shoe business. And with that money, he bought another shoe factory and expanded to retail stores. No, these people make a lot of money and buy weapons and paramilitary groups and kill people and kill more people. So it's such a volatile world. Each outfit has its own structure. And you have to respect how they are designed and how they function. And you have to know a lot about them. You can't just go into a situation not knowing who you're dealing with.
Kui Luis tegutses Kreekas, puutus ta palju kokku venelastega, kes ütlesid, et hunt ei murra. Hunt murrab koera. See tähendas, et sellisel tasemel kokaiini äris teadsid venelased väga hästi, et nende koostööpartnerid Kolumbia kartellis, kelle heaks Luis töötas, on sama tugevad kui nemad ja saavad nad ilmselt isegi kergemini kätte, kui venelased saaksid kolombialasi. Luis selgitab, et need inimesed kõrgel tasemel narkoäris ei olnud nagu ettevõtjad, kes on pärinud perefirma ja väiksest peale kõrvalt seda äri õppinud. Nad on inimesed, kes teenivad palju raha, ostavad sellest relvi, ostavad paramilitaarseid gruppe ning tapavad inimesi. See maailm on väga volatiilne, väga keevaline ning inimesi ja struktuure tuleb põhjalikult tundma õppida.
And we did realize that the Russians were a very, very powerful, if not the most powerful group in Europe. That basically what we had seen before as far as the Italian mafia and the Spanish mafia, the French, whoever, the Greeks, they were nothing compared to the Russians. The Russians would eat them alive in a second. But maybe the ones that could be up there with the Russians are Drangheta from Calabria. But the Russians, we saw some of the people that worked for the Russians, some of the Yugoslavians, some of the Albanians. Oh my God, I've never seen such vicious people in my life. And they're very friendly. They're very outgoing. They're very gregarious. And they would walk into a club in London wearing like fur skin leopard coats with hats and stuff like that. And you go, I mean, these people didn't care. They didn't care if they died tomorrow. They just wanted to live today. And extremely dangerous. When people like that, when you're dealing with people that have nothing to lose, that's the most dangerous situation in life. When you're dealing with somebody that has nothing to lose, you are in a losing battle.
Venelastega äri ajades oli kohe selge, et nad on ühed võimsamad tegijad Euroopas, kui mitte kõige võimsamad. Isegi Itaalia, Hispaania või Kreeka mafia kõrval. Luis ütleb, et venelased sööksid neid kõiki elusalt. Ainsana suudaks tema meelest vene kriminaalidele vastu panna Lõuna-Itaalias Kalabrias tegutseb allilma rühmitus Ndrangheta, mis tegutseb 18. sajandi lõpust kuni tänase päevani. Luis puutus kokku ka venelaste heaks töötavate jugoslaavlaste ja albaanlastega ning ütles, et ta pole nii julmi tüüpe kuskil mujal kohanud. Samal ajal olid nad aga ka väga sõbralikud, jutukad ja seltskondlikud. Sellised inimesed lähevad Luisi sõnul Londoni ööklubisse leopardinahkse kasukaga ja uhke kaabuga, sest neil on lihtsalt kõigest üks kõik. Nad tahavad ainult elu nautida. Ja Luisi meelest on sellised inimesed kõige ohtlikumad, sest nad ei hooli, kas nad homme surevad, nad tahavad elada kohe ja praegu. Vene teemat puudutades rääkisime ka Ukrainas toimuvast ja Luisi hinnang on ühene. Vägivald on kohutav ja sellele pole mingit õigustust. Sellise suhtumisega tegutses ta ka narkoäris.
The business never changed me. I got involved in that before you knew it. I was dealing with all these powerful people and I never lied to them or I never told them that I was a powerful, vicious guy. I told them exactly who I was. I'm just a normal guy that just happens to be very good at logistics. And that's what I can do for you. You give me something in Colombia and I'll give it to you in Moscow. And that's my expertise. I am not a violent person. I will not fight for money. So that to them was an attractive thing because they were so tired of dealing with vicious people that finally they came across somebody that did not pose a threat to them. So the business itself is very vicious and I don't even know how I got through it. And I was just very fortunate to not to ever have a major problem with anybody. And any problem I had, I kind of solved it in a very diplomatic, definitely nonviolent way. Sometimes I had to pay to solve, but money is just a tool and you should use it for benefits, not for aggression.
Narkoäri ei muutnud Luisi, vähemalt nii ütleb ta ise. Ta puutus kokku võimukate inimestega, aga ei valetanud neile kunagi, et ta oleks ise võimuahtne ja vägivaldne inimene. Ta ütles kohe, et on tavaline normaalne mees, kes on lihtsalt väga hea logistik. See muutis Luisi kartellidele atraktiivseks, sest neil oli kõrini julmuritega tegelemisest ja heal meelel tegid nad koostööd kellegagi, kes ei kujutanud endast ohtu. Samas tõdes ta, et narkoäri on ikkagi väga karm äri ja ta ei tea siiani isegi täpselt, kuidas tal õnnestus eluga pääseda. Luis arvab, et tal vedas, et tal ei tekkinud kellegagi suuri probleeme. Luis rõhutas ka, et raamat Eht narkoärikas ei ole tegelikult sellest, mida ta tegi, vaid kui kaua ta seda tegi. 25 aastat on väga pikk aeg sellises äris pidevalt äärmiselt keevaliste tüüpidega kokku puutudes.
You know, the book was, it's not about what I did, it's how long I did it for. It went for 25 years. And that's a long time to be in that business with these volatile characters. And these people are amazing, amazing people to meet. Very interesting. Like if you were to do a character study, these people are the most gregarious, the most pleasant. When they want to be nice, they are the nicest. They are amazing people. But then again, when they want to be vicious, they're very vicious. And they are people that they would be in the animal kingdom, the alpha predators. You cannot lie to these people. They will smell you a mile away. That's where a lot of people make a mistake. They forget who they're dealing with. These people that run billion-dollar empires have 5,000 people working below them, vicious people. Yet they manage to control this whole viciousness and keep it under control. And you got to understand, this is a very powerful person. He may look one way, but don't ever make the mistake to think this guy is an idiot. And it's very interesting to be around these people. I learned a lot and I highly respected them as intelligent people and that they had their ways that were a little different than mine. You know, I don't know. In the end, I don't know who's right, who's wrong. I'm nobody to judge. I just know that it was not in my nature to be violent and probably that's what saved me because the business never changed me.
Luis ütleb oma endiste kolleegide kohta, kui neid nii võib nimetada, et nad võisid olla kõige kenamad ja meeldivamad kaaslased, kui nad tahtsid. Aga järgmisel hetkel võisid nad olla ka tohutult julmad. Loomariigis oleksid nad alfa-isased, kellele ei saa valetada, sest nad haistavad valet juba kaugelt. See on koht, kus Luisi meelest paljud eksivad. Nad unustavad, kellega nad tegemist teevad. Üllatuslikult ütles ta, et tal on siiani suur austus nende tüüpide vastu kui intelligentsete inimeste vastu. Lihtsalt nende iseloom oli hoopis teissugune kui temal, kuid samas Luis õppis neilt ka väga palju. Samas ei tekkinud tal kunagi kiusatust olla ise vägivaldne. Mida siis Luis Naavia kokaiini ärist sellist õppis? Mida ta on saanud kaasa võtta oma ehitusettevõtte rajamisse?
Lessons are, you know, pay attention to details and you can build up your business and you should always be in a business where you can pick up the phone and talk to the biggest people in your business. Like if you're in the computer business and you can pick up the phone and talk to Bill Gates, you're probably going to be a person that's going to be doing pretty well. And if you're in a computer business and you can pick up the phone and somebody sends you 100,000 computers, there's a good business model there. So when I started in my construction business, I started with somebody that was the number one person in the construction business, in the window business in Miami at the time. He was the largest guy in the 1980s and in the 1990s. And I chose to start with him because, you know, I knew he was successful. And it's always good to be next to somebody that's successful. And connections are everything in business. 90% of business is who you know. And now, don't screw up. Just because you know this person, you know, you got to do the right thing and act the right way and do what you say you're going to do. But connections is 90%. You know, when I started in this business, I was nothing, but I met a girl that was directly connected to the Medellin cartel at the highest levels. So connections are everything. Then you have to work to maintain that connection, you know, nurture it the right way.
Luis ütleb, et põhiline õppetund on tunda õigeid inimesi ja saavutada hea kontakt oma valdkonna tipptegijatega. 90% äritegevusest on tutvused, ütleb Luis. Samas ei tohi ka neid tutvusi ära rikkuda, inimestega tuleb osata õigesti ümber käia. Oma ehitusfirmat alustas ta tollase Miami tipptegijaga. Ka kokaiiniärisse sai ta tänu pruudile, kel oli otse kontakt Medellini kartelli kõige kõrgemate tegelastega. Paratamatult tekib endise narkoärika raamatut lugedes küsimus. Kuidas ta julges kõiki neid lugusid avalikult rääkida ja kirjalasta panna, kui ta paljastab kõigi nende jõhkrat inimeste teod ja olemuse? Kas ta tõesti mõelnud, et see võib talle halvasti lõppeda?
When my name came up at first in the early 90s, late 80s, law enforcement people here in the United States, what they heard about me was that I was a major source for the Medellin cartel and the Colombian cartels. So they had this image of Luis Navia that was just like if he was Pablo Escobar or any of these guys, because they didn't know any different. They said, this guy has to be a very bad, dangerous person. I mean, thousands and thousands of kilos, and he continues to work and continues to work. They didn't know me. So finally, when they arrested me, they were surprised to see that I was still the same old kid from Key Biscayne, and they were shocked that I was just so mellow, nonchalant, just like nothing happened. Like it was like normal. Yeah, well, you know, we transported coke. We could have been transporting coffee. It doesn't mean that because I'm transporting cocaine, I have to act like a cocaine trafficker and kill people. It's like coffee or shoes or minerals. You know, you can be a decent person and run a decent business, but it's an illegal substance. So they were so shocked. And when they heard me tell the stories, you know, there was a funny aspect to it. And there's very, very, there's a lot of parts of the book that are very funny. Things that happened to me that are just, you know, unbelievable, yet they're true. So law enforcement, especially, you know, say Bob Harley, he told me you should write a book because I've interviewed thousands of people and never have I heard a story like this. And never have I heard of somebody doing this for 25 years. I mean, people do what you do every day, but nobody lasts 25 years. And here you are sitting here telling me this like if nothing. To you, it was like selling coffee, and you dealt with the most dangerous people in the world, and you're here alive, and you almost got killed, and you got kidnapped, and you talked your way out of a kidnapping. And in truth, you know, what you told them was true. You know, you did not steal from them, because if they would have found out that you did steal, if you would have stolen, they would have killed you. Because like I told you before, you can't fool these people. So I just acted in a very honest, very truthful manner. And I maybe didn't take it as seriously as I should have, but then maybe that saved me too. But it was law enforcement that encouraged me to write the book.
Kui politsei millalgi 80-ndate lõpul ja 90-ndate alguses esimest korda Luis Naavia nime kuulis, teati, et ta on Medellini kartelli ja teiste Kolumbia kartellide oluline varustaja. Teda peeti kohe Pablo Escobari tasemel jõhkardiks, halvaks ja ohtlikuks tegelaseks. Kui Luis aga lõpuks vahistati, olid uurijad tema sõnul šokeeritud, et ta oli ikka see sama tavaline poiss, pärit Floridast Key Biscayne linnast, rahulike muretu, nagu midagi poleks juhtunudki. Ja nii ütles ühel hetkel üks politseijuurija Bob Harley, et Luis peab oma loo kindlasti raamatuks kirjutama, sest see on kohati sedavõrd naljakas ja pöörane, et tundub lausa uskumatu. Harley ütles, et on interveerinud tuhandeid inimesi, aga pole kunagi midagi sellist kuulnud, et keegi püsib kokaiini äris 25 aastat ja on veel elus, et oma lugu jutustada, ning räägib sellest, nagu ta oleks müünud kohvi või kingi, kuigi ta oleks seda tehes peaaegu tapetud ja röövitud. Raamatu autoriks sai lõpuks austraallane Jesse Fink, kes kuulis nende ühiste tuttavate kaudu Luis Naavia loost ning hakkas selle vastu huvi tundma. Kirjutamisega tegi Luis algust juba vanglas, järgnesid pikad intervjuud veidratel kellaaegadel, sest Luis oli Miami's, Jesse Austraalias ja ajavahe 14 tundi.
When I was in prison, I started writing and I wrote a lot of memos to my attorneys, to law enforcement. I had a lot of interviews and a lot of it was documented by me and by law enforcement, of course. And then we started interviewing him in Australia and me in Miami, 14-hour difference. And for 2.5 years, we interviewed 3 times, 4 times a week, you know, at weird hours. It was either 7 a.m. for me or 10 p.m. for me, and the same with him. And we did that for 2.5 years. Finally, he came to Miami, he met me, and it was done. Plus everything that he researched and met, he personally met with law enforcement officials.
Luis tunnustab Jessit suurepärase töö eest, sest pole lihtne mahutada 25 aastat pööraseid lugusid narkoärist ühte raamatusse. Samas oli neil ka vaidlusi teatud kohtad üle, kus Luis keeldus mõningaid seiku ja inimesi raamatusse panemast.
Well, we argued sometimes over some stuff that I couldn't put about, well, personal relationships I had, people that I told him, Jesse, certain characters we cannot mention. It would not be advisable. Very dangerous, very dangerous. And there's enough there to make it very interesting. Why take, I cannot be responsible for anything happening to you. Right now, I feel that the book as it is, we're good. Now, you never know. There are certain people that, you know, you never know. One day they wake up with a bad attitude and there's a risk in everything you do. Now, is it a high risk? Possibly it's a higher risk for me than it is for him. I know that's a fact. But, you know, it was always a lot of common sense, what we should put and what we should not. And what we put is interesting enough, and it's all true. And I told him the other stuff would be good too, but why do it? It could be a little riskier than what we want.
Luis tunnistas, et teatud tegelaste mainimine võinuks seada ohtu autori Jesse Finki elu, aga kindlasti ka tema elu, ja sellist riski polnud vaja, kui raamat oli nende episoodidetagi juba väga hea.
Teeme siin kohal intervjuus väikese pausi, ent jääge kuuldele, sest pärast pausi saate teada, mis elu elab endine narkomiljonär nüüd ja millised on tema soovitused Eesti kuulajatele ja raamatu lugejatele.
Äripäeva raamatuklubi.
Tere tulemast tagasi kuulema Äripäeva raamatuklubi ja intervjuud endise laia haardega kokaiiniärimehe Luis Naaviaga, kelle elust ilmus Äripäeva kirjastusel äsja ka raamat Eht narkoärikas. Naaviat küsitleb raamatu toimetaja Kadri Põlendik.
2,5 aastaga sai raamat valmis ning Eht narkoärikas, originaalpealkirjaga Pure Narco, ilmus 2020. aasta septembris kõigepealt Austraalias. Esimesed lugejad ei suutnud uskuda, mida nad lugesid, ütleb Luis.
Remember, for many years nobody knew anything. I mean, people knew that I was in the business, but they never knew the extent. So everybody was shocked that it was to such a big extent and that I had survived so many crazy situations. So everybody that read it was just shocked that surviving the business and surviving the lifestyle, because the lifestyle was also very dangerous. The excessive drinking, the partying, years after years, that could have taken a toll on me also. And a lot of what saved me was, you know, my wife is a very amazing person. And somehow or the other, although I was with very dangerous people, these dangerous people always took a liking to me, because if these people don't like you, the chances of surviving are minimal. You could be their best worker, but they don't like you, believe me, chances of surviving. So a big thing in the book that, you know, the reason I'm alive is because the people I worked with liked me. My wife is an amazing person that was a big part of me being alive today.
Luis räägib, et inimesed teadsid, et ta tegeles kokaiiniäriga, aga enamik ei aimanud kui suures ulatuses ja nad olid šokeeritud, kui seda raamatust lugesid. Nad olid šokeeritud ka sellest, et ta jäi ellu sellises äris ja ka selliste eluviistega. Viimasega viitab Luis aastaid kestnud meeletule pidutsemisele, joomisele ja ka kokaiini tarvitamisele. Luis ütleb, et tema päästis abikaasa ning ka need ohtlikud inimesed, kellega ta koos töötas, sest ta meeldis neile ja see aitas tal ellu jääda. Luis kinnitas, et kuna väga palju lugusid sellest 25 aastast tuli välja jätta ning uusi sündmusi on ka vahepeal toimunud, on ta hakanud kirjutama järge. Samuti on lootust, et tema lugu jõuab ekraanidele.
There's a lot of stuff and interesting stuff and more current stuff that's happened that definitely there's material for another book. We've been thinking about it, and I started researching already, and I have some old material and some new stuff, because remember, there's a lot of new stuff that's happened since I've been out that's interesting. And so yeah, there probably will be a second book, and possibly a motion picture or a series. We're looking at those possibilities. There's interest from a few production companies and studios, and we're working towards that. In the book, I mean, Andy Garcia is mentioned in the book as a friend of mine, and I've approached him, and he said that, you know, it's good material, and you never know who may be interested, and I hope so. I hope we go in that direction.
Luis mainib, et on rääkinud filmi teemal oma sõbra, näitleja ja režissööri Andy Garciaga, kelle sõnul on tema raamatumaterjal väga palju lubav. Milline on aga praegu endise narkoärika Luis Naavia igapäevane elu?
Oh my god, it's non-stop. It's crazy. Construction starts early. So I'm up at 6 and, you know, I start making phone calls. I start sending emails at 3 in the morning. Sometimes I go to sleep and I can't sleep, and I wake up at 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning, and I start sending emails. But I'm up at 6, and then I get on my computer in the morning and I start sending emails, and then I go to my meetings, to the job sites, call the different site managers, and then go to the office at around 2 o'clock. Sometimes I go earlier, but I usually go in at 2, because in the mornings I go to all the different meetings I have or all the different job sites, and then I go to the office, and then I stay in the office till like 6 or 7, and then, you know, usually go out to dinner or something. But lately I've been really watching what I eat. So I try to come home and have something, you know, healthy. So it's basically the same thing as before. Because before, the only difference is before, I still don't have to go to work if I don't want to. Let's say, you know, I mean, if I don't want to, I don't have to. I do because, you know, it's my discipline. And the same way I did before. Like before, I used to drink a lot. Now I drink, but I only drink like on a Friday because this business stresses you out a lot. Come Friday, I think you need a drink just to mellow out and watch the boats go by and think of nothing because my business is just as stressful as my other business. The only difference is the other business, you made millions and millions right away. In my business, you know, I mean, there's a lot of construction people that make hundreds of millions and billions of dollars. I'm not there, but I'm happy where I'm at because I started late. You know, I started this business when I was like 55 years old. And if I would have started this business when I was 25, I would have been retired when I was 55.
Luis ütleb, et tema päevad on hullumeelsed. Ehituses algab töö hommikul vara ja üldiselt ärkab ta kell 6, aga mõningkord, kui ta ei saa magada, saadab kirju ka kell 3 öösel. Seejärel kohtub ta ehitusplatsidel inimestega, tal on palju koosolekuid, hiljem jõuab ta kontorisse, kus ta veedab aega õhtul kella 6-7. Luis leiab, et ta elu on praegu üsna samasugune nagu enne vanglat. Ta ei pea minema tööle, kui ta ei taha, aga ta läheb ikkagi, sest selline on tema distsipliin. Töö on tal sama stressi rohke kui varem, ainult et kui varem jõi ta kogu aeg, et sellega toime tulla, siis nüüd lõõgastub ta üksnes reedeti. Ainus erinevus on see, et varem sai ta teenida kohe miljoneid dollareid, aga praegu kulub sinna jõudmiseks rohkem aega. Oleks ta varem alustanud ehituses, oleks ta juba pensionil. Samas Luis ütleb, et ta ei kurda. Ta on tänulik, et on saanud elus uue võimaluse alustada puhtalt lehelt, aidata oma lastel minna ülikooli ning kogeda elu nii heal kui ka halval poolel. Ta ütleb, et nii seaduslik kui ka ebaseaduslik maailm võivad mõlemad olla julmad, kuid ka mõlemas maailmas on samad reeglid. Tuleb olla aus, ei tohi teistel nahka üle kõrvade tõmmata. Tuleb jääda endale kindlaks ning töötada targalt, mitte lihtsalt rabada.
You know, I don't complain. I'm very fortunate that I've been given a second chance, that I've used it to put my kids through college and to give myself another opportunity at living and being able to experience what a lot of people don't experience, which is the good side and the bad side. And there's no good and bad, okay? They can both be bad and they can both be good, but a very volatile, dangerous world, vicious world, and let's say an illegal world and a legal world, because they're both vicious. You can be in the construction business and it's legal and it is vicious. They will tear your head off. And same thing with the illegal. So that, you know, I was in both worlds, illegal world and legal world. And the rules are the same. You got to be honest. You cannot screw anybody. You are not better than anybody else, and you're not smarter. You know, in the end, you know, you have to be true to yourself and true to certain values that will get you through. Honesty is one of them. Hard work is another one, and smart work. You can work hard, but you don't work smart, you don't go as far. I'm very fortunate to be here. And even though I complain sometimes that I have to go to work and this, and I can't believe this construction guy didn't come through and still, I am very grateful that I can experience that. I could be dead. I could be doing 50 years in jail.
Luis ütleb, et hobisid tal ei ole, küll aga meeldib tal vabal ajal kodus olla ja lugeda ning ka lastega aega veeta.
I've never been one for hobbies. I mean, I used to play the drums and I love music, but I'm not the type of person, oh, it's the weekend and let's just go out on a boat. I've been on so many boats. If I don't ever see a boat, I don't care. Beach, you know, I don't care for the beach. I've been on the beach at night, in the morning, when it's sunny. I've been on the beach when I'm afraid, when we're running. I relax just by staying at home, sitting and reading. I do a lot of reading. That's my major hobby, is reading. And I don't like to go spend money recklessly in restaurants. But when I do go to restaurants and spend money in restaurants, I want to spend it with my kids. That's a time that I enjoy being with them. So anytime I get a chance to see my kids and be with them, I do that. And relaxing at home and reading. I've been to enough beaches and I don't like going on cruises. And I travel for business. So my hobby is travel, but most of the time I travel for business.
Lugeda meeldib talle poliitikast, maailmas toimuvast, aga ka oma eelmisest ärist, nagu ta seda nimetab.
It's the same. You know, Colombia continues to export. Raw materials come from Peru, from Colombia. Ecuador is now becoming a big player. They're using it as a trampoline. Mexican cartels are making big moves into Ecuador to control Ecuador. From Ecuador, the Mexican cartels have direct access to Europe, to Asia. You know, these situations are now getting bigger than before. Ecuador is becoming a bigger player as a trampoline to other areas, and it's being controlled a lot by the Mexican cartels. That was not so when I was in the business. Colombians no longer are interested in exporting to the U.S. directly. They let the Mexicans handle that. They focus on exporting to India, Pakistan, China, Australia, Japan, Hong Kong, you know, Asia, Europe. The Colombians aren't interested because they've already been through all the troubles and the hassles of dealing with the Americans. The Americans are very proactive. They find out you're in Colombia and sending something to New York, and they will come and find you. You know, the Dutch, you know, they know that somebody's sending something to Holland. If they're not caught with the product in Holland, they're not as proactive as the U.S.
Kokaiini maailmas on olukord suuresti sama nagu Luis Navia tegutsemise ajal. Kolumbia ja Peru ekspordivad, küll aga on Ecuadorist saamas suurem tegija kui varem. Ecuadori kontrollivad Mehiko kartellid, kelle jaoks on see hüppelaud Euroopasse ja Aasiasse. Kolumbialased ei ole enam USA-se eksportimisest huvitatud, sest neil sai küllalt Ameerika ametivõimudega tegelemisest. Kuulates, kui hästi on Luis endiselt kokaiinituruga kursis, küsin talt, kas ta vahel ka igatseb seda aega tagasi.
Yes, for example, we had a lot of fun and it was a great business. It was a great business. Made a lot of money. We had a lot of fun. I missed the part about, like in the construction business, sometimes people mess up and they cause tremendous difficulties for everybody else. And you say to yourself, Jesus, I wish this guy would have been in my old business because we would throw him off this rooftop immediately. In my old business, you paid for your mistakes immediately. And now I see people make mistakes and there's no payback. I mean, I'd say in my old business, we'd throw you off the building right now, off the rooftop.
Luis räägib, et neil oli tegelikult omal ajal päris lõbus, nad teenisid palju ja äri oli suurepärane. Ta igatseb mõneti ka seda, kuidas tolles äris pidid inimesed oma vigade eest kohe vastutuse võtma, sest praegu ehituses võib mõni inimene korduvalt eksida, korduvalt vigu teha, aga mingit tagajärgi sel pole.
Going back, no, because you know, everything has its time and place and I already did my time in that business and I'm happy that I did it and I'm alive. Everything is timing. My timing was back then, not now. I would not want my kids to get involved in that. I would not advise anybody to get involved in that. I think there is so much opportunity in this world through education. And it's not only going to college, because you can obtain knowledge and learn today probably more through the internet and by your self-stimulation to learn. Nowadays, you can learn just as much by not even going to college and just being self-motivated. And learn.
Tagasi narkomaailma Luis enam muidugi ei kipu. Samuti ei taha taga, et tema lapsed sellega tegeleks, ega soovita seda kellelegi teisele. Tema meelest pakub tänapäeval haridus nii palju võimalusi ning haritud saamiseks ei pea isegi tingimata ülikooli minema, vaid peab olema ise motiveeritud õppima. Mida aga tahaks Luis, et tema raamatust õpitaks?
Learn from my book is that this is a crazy situation that there is no war on drugs, that the war on drugs was lost, that there's no way to win the war on drugs, that my situation was just a freak situation that is not applicable to all. There's a lot of very, very sad, violent endings, families getting destroyed through the violence, through the consumption of the drug. The business is a very bad business. And just like keep your friends close and your enemies closer, we should definitely legalize this and decriminalize. But you learn from my book that as far as personal story, you should learn that you should never let anything ever change who you are, the good parts. And you should change towards the good, but you should not change towards the bad. I was a good person in a bad business. I did not become a bad person because of the bad business. Now, did I do some bad things? Yes. You know, exporting cocaine can be considered a bad thing. You know, I was a good person in a bad business. There's a lot of bad persons in good businesses. But from my book, I think the take on it is never change who you really are. And that could go both ways. But basically that drugs, this cocaine thing could be solved and should be solved through legalization and non-criminalization. The book is an adventure story of 25 years of an adventure story, but you know, family first. You should always think of your family. That was the big mistake I made. I should have retired when my daughter was born, and I didn't. I was very fortunate. I was blessed because, you know, I should have really been, you know, dead or whatever. I was very reckless. It goes to the show that, you know, you never know. I guess it wasn't my time, but you should also learn from my book that given opportunities, you should take them. I had the opportunity to go to a great university. I should have probably studied it, dedicated myself to using my time in a better way.
Nii nagu on Ehtnorko Erika raamat väga mahukas, on sealt ka palju õppetunde, mida Luis Naavia esile toob. Esmalt rõhutab ta, et narkovastast sõda pole olemas, see on eos kaotatud ning kokaiin tuleks legaliseerida ja dekriminaliseerida, et kaoks ära ebaseaduslik ja vägivaldne kokaiiniäri. Ta võrdleb seda ammuse alkoholi müügikeeluga, mis pani käima põrandaluse äri, mis kiskus veriseks ning mille lõpetas alkoholi seadustamine ja kontrollitud müük. Luis rõhutab ka, et tema lugu on pöörane ja enamikel inimestel nii kergelt ei lähe, sest tegelikult on narkoäri väga karm maailm, kus pered lagunevad ja inimesed surevad nii vägivalla kui ka narkootikumide tõttu. Sellest raamatust tuleks ka õppida, et kunagi ei tohi muuta seda, kes sa oled, või kui, siis ainult paremuse poole. Luis tunnistab, et kokaiini eksportides tegi ta halbu tegusid, aga ta ei muutunud halvas äris kunagi halvaks inimeseks. Ta tahab, et inimesed peaksid meeles, et pere tuleb alati esimesena. Ta tunnistab, et oleks pidanud kokaiiniäriga lõpetama, kui tema tütar sündis, kuid ta jätkas ja oli väga hooletu, kuid tal vedas, et ta jäi ellu. Küll aga lagunes tema abielu. Luis soovitab raamatust õppida ka seda, et võimalustest tuleb haarata, nagu talle anti võimalus õppida heas ülikoolis, kuid ta ei kasutanud seda ära, et seal korralikult õppida. Ning viimane asi, mida tema meelest tuleks kindlasti Ehtnarkoärika raamatust õppida. Hoidke eemale ülejoomisest ja narkootikumide tarvitamisest. Luis lubab, et see hävitab inimese elu ja tekitab talle suurt kahju.
Something that I would definitely learn from my book is, you know, stay away from excessive drinking and doing drugs. Definitely, without a doubt, if there's one thing that my book should tell people is drinking and doing drugs will definitely destroy you and cause you great harm. My wife divorced me, and it was mostly because of my reckless lifestyle.
Selline oli seekordne Äripäeva raamatuklubi ja intervjuu endise narkoärika nüüdse ehitusettevõtja Luis Naaviaga. Naaviat küsitles tema eluloraamatu Eht narkoärikas toimetaja Kadri Põlendik. Raamatu leiate Äripäeva e-poest aadressilt pood.aripaev.ee. Head lugemist!